Oh, Chris Grant's got it.
Chris Grant's got it. 36th position.
Over left foot.
He kicked the goal to bring him back into the game.
Got it.
It's a great kick. He's kicked it. A magnificent effort. He will be a hero forever if they win this match.
Surely they're home this time.
He is and will be a hero forever, of course. The two-time Charles Sutton medal winner, three-time All-Australian, the captain of his beloved Bulldogs, Australian Footy Hall of Fame inductee. He's the boss of the club at the moment. And should they salute on Saturday, he will wander up and hand over the Premiership Cup to Marcus Bontempelli and also Luke Beveridge. And he joins us on the line. Grandy, great to talk to you again.
Morning, Gary. And, it's an exciting time, isn't it? We both had a nice day yesterday, so... sun's come up here in Perth very early, Gary.
Yes, I did ask if you'd be up for a chat tomorrow, and Granny looked at me and said, you realise it'd be 6:30 or something. So we appreciate you giving us some time. It was great yesterday. It gets real, doesn't it, when you see the Premiership Cup sitting there and the stakes can't be any higher.
Yeah, no, we both commented on it, didn't we? The cup feels pretty nice in your hands, doesn't it? even the weight of the cup, it's just, it feels pretty special. But Tim, you've had the pleasure of being involved in a few of those in your time, and getting your hands on it, it's a pretty special feeling.
It is indeed, Chris. And when Gary called that press conference yesterday, did you just immediately just fall into line, or did you need to have some be convinced in any way?
No, it was a mad scramble, Tim. I got the heads up that he was doing something in the city, so we jumped in the carnival and got there as quickly as we could. But just at the end of it, just at the tail end, we caught.
Don't fall in, Granny, because there are a section of our audience that actually will start to believe it, and then I'm going to cop grief.
Hey, what was your reaction when you were first asked to present the cup?
It was a pretty surreal conversation, to be honest, Tim. You sort of think about the things you've been able to experience in your career, in your time in the industry. There's no doubt being involved in a club, certainly as a player, that would be a special feeling. But being involved in the club or watching your team participate in the grand final and then win it, it's a pretty special time. But when I meet our CEO, Collie Watson-Wheeler, our president, sort of threw a mate, offered the opportunity. I was a bit taken back, really, because, being an employee of the club at the moment, that hasn't happened before. But it didn't take me long to say yes. It's obviously a unique situation. Not all of our past champions are, unfortunately, able to be in WA or Perth at the moment. But didn't take me long to say yes.
No, it's a great honour, a great, great honour. Talking to Chris Grant, the Bulldogs head of football, the planning and the execution of this finals campaign for the Bulldogs, it's like nothing that's ever happened in the game before. How have you managed it all?
Yeah, it's been unique, Tim, no doubt about that. Sort of reflecting back before the final series was about to start, and AFL were in contact with all the teams that were in Melbourne, obviously, Melbourne-based teams, to let us know we're probably going to have to get out of Victoria pretty quickly. And the plan at that point, they were pretty sure that we wouldn't be returning. So that in itself was a unique week. And then being on the road since then, and the hurdles and the different protocols that we've had to face on the way through. It has been a huge task by everyone involved. What's been so pleasing is how the players themselves have dealt with it. They've bunkered down. They've sort of used it as an opportunity of really getting together and mounting a charge and a challenge within the final series. And as everyone knows, our end of the season, as far as our wins, we really dropped off there right at the end. And maybe getting away in that first week was a really important opportunity of almost sort of being a circuit breaker, and having the boys travel away and have a mission to try and get the first one away in Launceston. That sort of got us on our way. So it has been unique. It's been a huge sort of logistical undertaking. And each state we've gone to, Tim, the protocols have been so different. You sort of think about COVID protocols, they'd be the sort of same from state to state, but they've actually been different from state to state. And that in itself has been a challenge to work through. But now that we've arrived in Perth, and then come back to Perth after being in Adelaide for that weekend last, 2 weekends ago now. It's been nice and a little bit easier to work through, and everyone got released from Pentridge, if you like, on Sunday morning, and that's been nice for the boys this week too.
Have you noticed a change in the demeanour of the players as a result of that?
I think everyone, Tim, when you get an opportunity of, having some freedom and living somewhat normally, albeit, away from home and away from partners or family and friends, that in itself's a little bit unique. But, just being able to take a mask off and walk out the front door, that Sunday morning, it really did feel like you'd sort of been in the hole for best part of, 3.5 weeks, and walking out, it was a bit strange. It sort of felt like, without the mask on, that someone was going to come past and tackle you and throw you back inside. But it has been nice. I think, that in itself has been a nice sort of positive booster, leading into this week.
With Chris Grant, the Bulldogs footy boss, Granny, we've got so many Western Bulldogs fans that are listening, and it's not of great interest to me, but your team for this weekend, will there be any changes, do you think? There's a couple of decisions you're going to have to make.
Well, I'm happy to say, because there's no one listening, so I'm happy to let you know who's going to be in the team this week. We're actually talking about it yesterday, weren't we? I mean, both teams are fit, and I know Charlie Spargo had a bit of a rolled ankle, but he's going to be okay by the looks of things. And on our end, the additional week or so has certainly helped Alex Keith, and Cody Waitman would have played the following week if the game was last weekend or the weekend just gone. So we'll be quite fit in our camp. So it's going to be a difficult task, and we were both reflecting yesterday that with the ecstasy of being selected for a grand final, there's also the heartbreak. I think the additional layer of it actually being a grand final will no doubt be additionally emotional for those boys who do miss out. The ecstasy will be heightened. It's just been so pleasing leading up till now, how well the players who haven't been able to be selected, how well they've dealt with it, and how supportive they've been of the team as they lead into their game. So it's actually been really nice to have everyone here together. We've only unfortunately got Josh Bruce at home, who just had his ACL reconstruction, and with a young family, and he quite rightly remained at home while he's recovering. So outside of that, we've got our whole group here. Bruce is on the WhatsApp and FaceTime pretty constantly with the boys. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be really tough for Bevo and the boys to select that final 23 these days tonight.
We love seeing Josh Bruce. He was pictured volunteering, I think, filling up some packages and merchandise for the club. So it was a beautiful picture I saw yesterday or the day before. How important has it been, Granny, and I know the Demons have said this to me as well, to have the whole group there and the players that aren't playing, the reserves and the being able to be there, and then when it comes to training, being able to get involved in those drills just to keep everyone fresh and challenged? I mean, has that been a significant part of it for you guys?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, no doubt. It's been critical, I'd say. The mood of the group, the whole environment has been sort of one in, all in. And, it certainly helps at training as one of those things. But it's just having everyone, the group's so tight. Having anyone, if it was a smaller group that were only allowed to travel, for example, but it was 30 or 32, if there was a cap on that, it would just be absolutely devastating for the group to have boys back home, not to be able to participate in that. And, we shouldn't also forget, those young boys who are coming through that may not get the opportunity of playing on the weekend, the experience leading into a grand final would you know, seen what a final series is about and the tension and the emotion that comes with that. It's a great learning experience for them as well. So we can't discount, you know, whilst they may not actually be selected, you know, for their growth, it's going to be enormous to see what it's all about. So the positivity in the group has been tremendous on the back of having everyone here. So as I say, unfortunately, only 23 of them will get their chance. But those who don't, just enormously supportive of those boys that do.
Yeah, there's always the agony and the ecstasy of this game. I mean, it happens on so many different levels. Are you in the rooms before the game, Chris?
Yep.
Okay, well, you'll be able to answer this question because Gary wrote a letter to Bont pre-season and he keeps telling me that the Bont, it's the last thing he does before he runs out in the game. Each and every week he reads this letter from Gary. Have you seen him read this letter before he runs out or not?
I can't say I have, Tim. No. I'll ask him over breakfast this morning.
Hey, Granny, this is what I have to deal with every morning. It is so good to talk to you. It's so great to see you yesterday, and I said it sincerely that I couldn't think of anyone better to share this honour that's been bestowed upon us. So I look forward to seeing you on the weekend, mate. Hopefully everything goes well. There's no injury hiccups between now and then, and the best team will win on the day. So so good, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Gary. Now I really look forward to walking out with you on Saturday, late afternoon, isn't it? But no, I can't wait for it, mate.
Hey, 6 tests, a double 100, 25 one days and 15 T20s for Australia. That is an outstanding record. Wispy then just dominated here in the he dominated everywhere.
Everywhere. Went. He was a bit of a footballer back in the day too, wasn't he?
Well, ask him, I suppose. I haven't seen that, but Bradley Hodge is a great demon, man. I know that, and he joins us. Hey, Hodgie.
Yeah, Gaz, Tim, g'day. Good morning. You know what? I'd give up every single one of those test matches if you can present that cup to the leaders of the football club this week. I know that.
There you go.
Hang on. You've played 6 tests for your country. The baggy green is as revered as anything. You made a double 100. You'd give them up for the cup being handed over.
Yep, because I've been waiting 46 years for this to happen, and it's going to be bloody pleasurable if it does happen, I must admit. And I'm tipping you're the same.
Yeah, he is. He can't. He can hardly contain himself at the moment. Brad, hey, when did it start for you as a Melbourne fan?
Mate, I was always a Demon. My father was a Demon supporter, and, you know, we used to go out to, you know, the VFL Park in the 80s and watch the greats, Robbie Flower. I had my love of Rodney Grinter and Graham Yates and the Fidge brothers. So a few random ones too, which was Shane Zantuck and Alan Jarrett. And, you know, like anyone, you wanted to play for your own team when you had your little, you know, when you, what was it, the Auskick back then when you used to get on the ground. But I was zoned into St Kilda, so I actually played for the St Kilda. So I get to run out when Plugger was playing at Moorabbin. So it was pretty cool. Yeah, I was always into footy, and the Demons is always through and through in our family.
Well, Gary, great names you've mentioned there.
Some unbelievable names.
Some of who are listening. So Rodney Grinter will be very happy with his mention there.
Yeah, you didn't have the swingman? He wasn't one of your favourites? Swingman line?
Oh, of course. Yeah, that was in the 90s, right? And then on to the 2000s. So, I mean, look, to be honest, you know, when you standing next to Stinger and Chopper Lovell in the centre or in the forward line, and you got those guns up against Gazza, they're hard to compete against, right?
Absolutely. Hey, Gary said yesterday this is the best Melbourne team that he's seen. Is it the best Melbourne team that you've seen?
Oh, look, who knows if they get the job done right, but I mean, when the Baby Bombers, your mob, towered us up in the 2000s, that was a pretty good side as well. Also, I'd like to think that when, you know, we lost the prelim and poor old Jimmy stepped over the line and Gary Buchanan slid one through from 35, that was a pretty good side as well. So, like in any sport, you know, you get your chances and you come up against a good side on the Saturday afternoon. If you're good enough, you win. But I sort of agree with Gary. This is a good chance as ever. Got some absolute superstars. I think that's one thing which, you know, Melbourne hasn't had for, you know, the last sort of 5 to 6 years collectively. Now we've got about probably 10 guns across the field, which is going to help us for sure.
What sort of a watcher are you? We're talking to Brad Hodge, the former Test superstar here. Are you a nervous watcher? Where will you be on Saturday?
Noisy Gaz, that's where I am. As soon as the goal gets through, things go nuts in our house. The wife can't stand it. She retreats upstairs every weekend. So, it's not ideal. Actually, a lot of the things you've seen around the community is everyone's painting their fences red and blue, right? So, and I've got a really, really, I call it white fence, and I wanted to paint it red and blue throughout the week. I mean, what else we got to do in lockdown, right? So I thought it'd be pretty cool to get the kids out there and paint it red and blue, but the wife wouldn't have it. So we're going to try and get some LED lights, red and blue, and put it up around the house for the weekend. So a few streamers, few balloons, but nervous? Yeah, I reckon that when I'm chewing my nails, Gaz, I reckon I'll be showing you on TV chewing yours as well, for sure.
What about the kids? Have you convinced them to barrack for the D's as well?
Yeah, my son Jesse's he's a Demon supporter. So we've been to a few games. It's interesting, the first few games that I took him to watch the Demons, we had a collective average loss of 120 points in the three games that we went and took him to. I think one was North Melbourne, one was the Cats. It was a bit of a disastrous start to his entrance into the AFL. Having said that, though, he stuck with him like everyone else, and hopefully... You know, he says to me, Dad, you know, there was a time when he wanted to jump to Richmond. He said, mate, you're going to lose. You're going to miss the biggest party in the world if you actually jump ship, right? Like, this is going to be spectacular. So whether it's in the West, whether it's in Melbourne, doesn't matter. We'll make some Imola-style Ferrari party somewhere in the streets of Melbourne when the time's right, Gaz. You know, whether it be next March, whatever, we'll enjoy it if it happens.
I think you'll find the time. Hey, we've just come through on the temper text. Did you play one reserve game for Melbourne back in the 90s?
I did, yes. I was lucky enough to train with the love of the team, Gaz and Todd Viney and everyone, and Nita for about 10 weeks. I went to St. Bede's Mentone, and Peter Russo was the assistant down at the club at the time. So he thought that I had half decent talent, and yeah, managed to play one reserves game, and it was the worst game ever, right? It was out at the Western Oval. There was a 15-goal wind pushing into the pocket. I reckon the whole time there was 44 players just camped in this forward pocket for about 30-odd minutes. The ball went nowhere. It was freezing cold. And then, funny enough, we went in and had full body contact the next on Tuesday. I think the main side lost a couple of games, and Neil Barham just said we need to get some contested play back in. And I was pinned in the middle against Stephen Tingay, and he crunched me that far and wrenched my knee back about 90 degrees the wrong way and tore my cartilage in my knee, which meant I was out for another 10 weeks. So the good thing was is that I did play for the Demons, got the number 46, got a nice little elbow in the head from Kieran Spawn, which was probably the highlight of the day.
You're unlucky.
And that was it, yeah. So the one thing I was is that unfortunately cricket lends itself to be a little bit selfish from time to time. I gave away three handballs in the square.
No.
And it was so unlike me.
Mistake.
Like, I kicked the point, but realistically, boys, should have had 3-1 and would have been a hell of a lot better story than trucking around in the mud at the Western Oval for four quarters.
Gary, what do you remember about Hodgie when he was there?
I can't believe Hodgie's not on the Past Players WhatsApp group on the basis of that. I think...
Well, Nita and Hoppy, they're good enough to speak to me from time to time, Gaz. So I'm part of the community somewhere thereabouts. So
well, Balls good. Might put you. He's listening. He might add you on a bit later because you would love seeing what's going on right now in that group. So I don't need to ask you for your tip. What about from a Norm Smith point of view? Who have you got there penciled in?
Well, I'm not sure if you've seen this, but was Clayton Oliver a little bit... When we didn't receive... 3 votes and 2 votes in round 22 against Adelaide. I was questioning that a little bit. So I thought, right, I will pass up the Brownlow. And I think Clayton Oliver or Christian Petrarca in the midfield might take a Norm Smith medal this week. So it'd be pretty cool.
Hodgie, you have established your bona fides. Yep. You are a dead set,
genuine
demon, and we love it. We've loved listening to all of the different supporting groups. Just this one, there's a quicker message come through. My name's Easton. Dad just said to me, if you can get Brad Hodge to say hi to me, he'll buy me a new bat that I've wanted. So can you say good day to Easton so he can go out and get himself a new cricket bat?
Easton, go and get yourself a new cricket bat, mate. Cricket will be starting soon. We need some community cricket and community sport back as soon as possible. And we're all itching for it. And the great thing is about sport is that you get to play with your mates, mate. So go grab yourself a bat and shine it up and find the middle when the time comes.
You're a star, mate. Love talking to you this morning, and good luck for your demons on the weekend.
Lift that cup, Gaz. That's your job. Come on.
Brad Hodge.
Andrew Johns is in some space, and away goes his brother. Matthew Johns scores.
Thanks to Mate Internet and Mobile, Australia's most satisfied customers. NBN from $59. Here's Matthew Johns.
Here indeed, great to have the star of Fox Sports, well, he's just the star of Fox Sports, full stop, heading into the preliminary final weekend of the NRL. Matthew Johns, good enough to join us. Okay, Matty.
Gaz, Tim, how are you, boys? How's the week been so far?
Fever pitch. We're at fever pitch with our grand final just around the corner. How's your week been?
Mate, it's been good. Been good, boys. I imagine it's a lot more fun over there, Gaz. But congratulations too, mate. Heard the news yesterday that if the boys get up, you're awarding the trophy.
Thank you. Good Matty. Yep. Yeah, no, it is massive. So, it is. It's building nicely over here. It's all the excitement. What are you, Tim? What are you laughing at?
Well, I'm just.
I was going to say, what are you hand out, Tim?
Pizza boxes.
Well, Matty, he's booked in to get a fake tan. He's going to get a set perm and a colour. Do you think he's gone too far for his appearance on grand final day?
Do you know, it's been a long time since I've caught up with Gaz, but even back then I sensed a tint. I remember one day we're in Germany and a just for men satchel fell out of his pocket. But it's one of those things that people never quite get them right. There was just that little red tinge in there.
Oh, he's away now. He's got one through the covers and hit the boundary and he's off and running.
Over the fence.
Over the fence. Hey, what's the big talk in the rugby league this week? Is it the Dally M or is it the big Penrith Storm matchup?
Yeah, look, Tim, it's just all about the games coming up this weekend. It's... Melbourne Storm and Penrith, which is it's the game everyone almost certainly thought was going to be the grand final, but it's like when these semi-finals, when there's a bit of an upset and throws teams over the other side of the draw. I think the Storm will win that. They've sitting there, it's such an advantage having that week off, and mate, they freshen up and do the tape better than anyone else. And Penrith just don't look a little bit tired. The other game, I just can't split Manly and South Sydney. So it's interesting. This week's Jez Hasler and Wayne Bennett, two blokes who just love playing mind games. So that'll be interesting and say nothing in press conferences. So that's, but yeah, I was Melbourne, I think before the finals, they were about $2.75, which I thought was too short. Now they're into about $2.05. And I think that's too long. I think they're set perfectly to win this competition now.
Oh, you were a bit worried about them a few weeks ago when we spoke to
you. Yeah, I was, Tim. They went off the boil for a little bit. I always think it's a little bit of a concern when you've locked yourself into one of those top two positions, 4 of the 6 weeks away from the finals, which they had done. They tread water a little bit. I thought they lost their way. They ventured away from what they did well, but they've slowly crept back. Their performance against Manly, it's taken a while to get back there, but yeah, it was back up to the sort of Melbourne Storm that you expect most of the time, almost all the time.
Speaking with Matthew Johns, excuse me, two big prelims. I'm still trying to digest that.
He was on the love boat.
It's all right, mate. It's all right, mate. Just hand out the trophy, mate. You just hand it over. That's all you've got to do.
What about the bunnies and the sea eagles? Can you give us a... Because we have got some NRL fans that'd like to know.
It's like you got... One thing about Wayne Bennett, it's been pretty remarkable. They've lost their most important player, Latrell Mitchell, who's just, mate, a machine. He's been incredible this year. You know, like Latrell's the sort of guy that if, you know, you met him in the foyer of a hotel, you go, holy dooly. I mean, he looks, he's a big guy on TV, but when you know, he's about 6'4", 6'5", 116, 118 kilos. He's just a monster. He's massive. They lost him, and at that point, I put a line through South, but Wayne Bennett just made Coots find a way to get him up. Shock win over Penrith. They've been sitting there waiting for Manly, and over the other side in Manly, Tom Trbojevic, mate. Just absolutely. Melbourne are the only side I've ever seen who shut him down. They did it, but last week, you know, he ran right again.
They were listening to us when you gave us how to shut him down. I think Melbourne Storm were listening to us on that particular Thursday.
Yeah, I think they were. They were. Yes, they picked up a few little tidbits there, boys. Always happy to help out the master coach.
Hey, if you ever wanted to see a show that highlighted the difference between AFL players and NRL players, then all you needed to be doing recently is watching SAS Australia. And Sammy Burgess, is he a tough mutter?
Oh, isn't he what?
Crikey.
You know, like, man, he's a tough guy, Sam. Tremendous bloke. I spent a fair bit of time with Sam, and he's a really thoughtful guy. Like, I saw last night on the show, he lost his dad to motor neurones disease. Mate, he's just about the best leader I've seen in sport. And you know, he's from the north of England, you know, up Bradford. And boys, those northern Englishmen, you know, tough front rowers from the north of England. Well, as they used to say, whenever they needed a front rower for the national side, they'd just yell down a mineshaft and want to come up. He's just a mate. He's one tough hombre.
Hey, Matty, we had our Brownlow on Monday night, and it was a fantastic winner, Ollie Wines. And so we had four players that got 30 votes or more, which has never been done. So all the midfielders are voting, and voting more than they ever have in the past. And it's, you know, lots of debate around umpires giving votes and whether it's the best mechanism, whatever. Can you explain how the Dally M award wins? Award works? Because there was some controversy about someone that was left out of the nomination. So can you talk us through the Dally M?
Yeah, well, the Dally M's, what they do is they go position by position, and that's nominated, I believe, by the peers. It might be the journalists. I'm trying to think. Geez, I'm up to date with this. But anyway, they nominate position by position. But as far as winning the Dally M medal, that is done 3-2-1 each weekend by experts who vote. And we've split it in half because, yeah, we've had to do it, you know, via Zoom and whatnot. So we split it in half, and at the moment, it'll conclude next Monday. But it's Nathan Cleary on 24 points and Tom Trbojevic on 23. I think Tom Trbojevic is about $1.10 to win it, because in those last, you know, five rounds, he at least got three points on a, you know, two or three occasions. So he's almost certainly to win it. So and same here, boys. It's been it's a competition here that has been the gap between the best and the rest has, I've never seen it so wide. Mm-hmm. And as a result, there's been all sorts of records. Melbourne, you know, 19 in a row. South winning a mile of games in a row. Individual scoring most ever for career points. All these records. But I think what it highlights, as I said before, is just the gap. And the same with the Dally M's. We're going to get a situation here where blokes are going to win the Dally M's, like, similar to you blokes, 33 versus 32 versus 31, which we've never seen before.
Anyone that listens to our program knows that you've got blue and white blood coursing through your veins.
Yeah.
And they'd be interested in your reaction to Robbie Tarrant moving on and going to the Tigers?
Yeah. Look, I spoke to Rob, would have been probably just before his announcement. He rung me and he said he'd been tossing and turning. And I said, mate, at the end of the day, what are your motives? And he said, well, mate, I just want to win a flag. And I said, well, mate, you know, it's in my game, NRL stands for not for long. So, mate, as long as it's not for the money, go for it. And he said, thanks, and away he went.
Was it a short conversation or?
Yeah.
Shortish?
It was pretty short. It was shortish, you know, and, you know, as much as it hurt me, at the end of the day, mate, I'm a player's man, first of all.
You're a club man, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Turtle till I die. Although I do have a soft spot for the Western Bulldogs, so look out there, Gaz.
Oh, no, that's not what I want to hear. Now, you got a recommendation for us for this weekend?
I tell you what, just a couple of quick ones. I sat there and watched the merger last night, which was the Brisbane Bears and Fitzroy Lions, how that took place. That was really interesting. I didn't know the nuances of how that took place. But the real beauty to watch is another 30 for 30 on ESPN. It's called Once Upon a Time in Queens. And it was about the rise of the New York Mets in the 80s. Mate, it's a four-part doco. It's fantastic. Even like, look, I'm not a baseball man, but it's brilliant. It's fantastic documentary.
Fantastic.
And just quickly before we let you go, too, it's just been announced here. I think it might have been late yesterday. Melbourne Storm fans will get free membership in 2022, which is an unbelievable thing for the club to do. Do you think any of the other NRL sides will follow suit?
I reckon the Warriors might do it simply because those clubs, I think the clubs that haven't, their fans haven't been able to have home games at all. There's a lot that have been locked out basically for 2 years basically. So I think there'll be a couple of clubs like that that'll follow suit. But yeah, it's a great gesture there, mate. Well run, great club.
They are, and you've got them now as maybe an odds-on favourite to win. So, Matty, thank you for joining us. We'll talk again hopefully next week.
You might want to, mate, take some ascorbic acids for that throat. I'm getting worried, mate. The last thing you want is waking up grand final day, not being able to award the trophy.
Well, you know, I don't need to talk if that would be the case, but it's very early starts over here, Matty, that have been getting me with the time difference. Yeah. But I'll be fine, my friend. Thank you for your concern.
Any advice?
No problem, mate.
Any advice for him, Matty, if he does hold up the cup on behalf of the Melbourne Football Club?
I won't be holding it up. I'm handing it if
mate. Gaz, you just always got to remember, mate, it's not about you. Just dress plain.
Thank you.
And hand it over and get off the stage.
No, that's
good. Anyway, enjoy it over there. Enjoy it over there. Pass on my best, Ed.
Thank you, Matthew. Matthew
Johns. There you go.
If a mate shows most satisfied NBN customers, internet, from just $59 search made online, the Kangaroo fans won't be that happy with him.